The time is a quarter past 10. The weather, we don't know what that is. It's
not
quite
raining.
Warm outside.
Well, it's not as warm as it could be, though. The air conditioner is now off.
Yes, indeed. We're saving power. We're using that to boost the sound.
Yeah, we need to. All right, well, I'm pretty much lost for words after about 50 hours of no sleep.
We're broadcasting live from the Blacktown? Where are we? We're Blacktown. Blacktown Show. That's right. And we're also coming to you live from Doonside High School. Hi to the guys over in Doonside.
Yeah.
You're probably asleep on the floor at the moment.
We'll have to try and play something to wake them up.
Yeah, so we've got a piece of vinyl coming up later.
I do believe that Paddy
Blacktown.
Oh, he's back.
Can you please switch to the STL?
What's going on over there then?
Switch to the STL, okay?
Okay, well, we'll do that during this next song.
Okay, good stuff.
When you hear the you-know-what, we'll do the you-know-what.
Thank you.
This is Aztec Camera with Oblivious.
That's what it sounds like when an STL kicks in. Okay, let's going to leave the fourth test there. It was a great time, but it's all over now. The Friends of Soir, after that, got to working for a permanent site. Ken Marsh said... Actually, before I do that, I'm going to just play this song, because this song was in memory of the fourth test. Okay, so we're just going to play this. Just give me a bit of a break here, because I need one. This is Ebenezer Good, and this went like... down like a lead balloon. It really did. At the dance party that we had. This is in memory of the fourth test.
A great philosopher once wrote,
"Naughty, naughty, very naughty."
Got a bit of sweet face, and he goes by the name of Ebenezer Good. His friends call him Ezer, and he is the main geezer, and he vibe up the place like no other man could. He's refined, he's sublime, he makes you feel fine. They're very much maligned and misunderstood. But if you know Ezer, he's a real crowd pleaser. He's ever so good, he's Ebenezer Good. You see that he's mischievous, mysterious, and devious. When he circulates amongst the people in the place, once you know he's fun and something of a genius, he gives a grin that goes around face to face to face. Backwards and then forwards and then backwards. Ezer is a geezer, he loves to muscle in. That's about the time the crowd will shout the name of Ezer as he's crouched in the corner laughing by the base bin.
Has anyone here got any beers? Lovely.
Naughty, naughty, very naughty.
Ebenezer.
he's a good leading light of the scene, know what I mean? He created the vibe, he takes you for a ride, and as if by design, the party ignites like he's coming alive. He takes you to the top, shakes you all around and back down. You know as he gets mellow, then as smooth as a groove that is making you move. He's glad to see your mind with a sunny hello. A gentleman of leisure, he's there for your pleasure, but go easy on all these, or he's a love you can lose. Extraordinary fella like Mr. Punchinella. He's the kind of geezer who must never be abused. When you're in town and Ebenezer is around, you can sense the presence in the sound of the crowd. He gets them all out. The party starts rocking, the people get excited. It's time to shout loud.
SWRFM, and that was Ebenezer Good by The Shaman. And with that, we kiss goodbye to the fourth test and enter a new age of Swar FM. Okay, the Friends of Swar got to work to find a permanent site, and Ken Marsh suggested one of several underused public halls in Mount Druitt. Whalen was initially chosen. Another thing that happened back in 1993 was that the ABT became the ABA, and the new Broadcasting Services Act was introduced. The new planning schedule to plan the issue of new licences was released, and Sydney was shown on the licensing for 1997-98. So we all thought, well, it's worth a chance. We should keep Swar FM going, and, you know, we'll probably get the licence in around 1997-98. That should be good, you know. It's a couple of years. We can keep the old girl running. We can find a site just to run it from somewhere. We'll do it. In the meantime, the TCBL allowance was increased from 30 to 90 days per year. Another thing also happened in that era. WOW FM exploded again, and the group of people who were keeping it alive, known as Clive Dorrington and Steve Rutherford, left because once basically for the same reason that we left. And shortly afterwards, they formed a group called Air FM. Now, some people would know about Air FM in Penrith, and they were contesting the Penrith licence along with WOW FM for quite some time until WOW FM finally bought it. finally won it. Clive and Steve were very much dedicated to the same ideals as Swar FM, and we forged alliances with that group for a number of years, even to the stage where we assisted with them in the reshuffle of some frequencies in the Sydney metropolitan area. Unfortunately, Clive and Steve eventually left Air FM, and the management of Air FM radically changed their outlook, and that outlook was to become a more commercially orientated one, and that unfortunately led to them not being able to be granted the final license for the Penrith area. Let's get off Air FM and WOW and continue talking about SWAR. The next SWAR test was from the Whalen Community Centre. And there was a little bit of politics. Because we were unable to gain access to the office, there was a sort of a manager who tended to own the place. This manager wasn't paid, by the way. The studio was set up in the chair store, and the test lasted for 9 days. Basically, I haven't got any excerpts from that period. I'm just going to play one song from that period, and it's this one, Utah Saints and Something Good. No, I've got to turn it on. Oh, no, I will not let that happen. See, this is what happens on community radio. You just stuff things up. From this point on, the history show is going to move at a considerably faster pace than we've been moving. We're going to get up to the current time pretty quickly. We've concentrated on about 1992-93, but now we're going to get pretty quick. Yes, it was something good to have Swire FM back on the air again, even if it was from the Wayland Community Centre. There were a lot of problems with that test, though. Barry Robson and Ken Jones had done a deal to do a test from the recently completed Prospect Electricity Tower. However, difficulty was experienced with the STL from Wayland, and the result was a lousy, noisy mono signal. Nevertheless, the signal did go way too far, actually, with listeners actually calling in from Palm Beach on that test, requesting songs. So we also, of course, held a band's day at that test and another outside broadcast from Mount Druitt Shopping Centre. There were security concerns at Wayland, though. A mixer belonging to Ken was stolen, and when the association reimbursed Ken for it, Erna Szabo kind of got annoyed and left for some reason. We're never quite sure. If you're listening out there, Erna, thanks, wherever you are. The deal with Prospect, however, fell over, and Barry Robson tried to tee up another deal for us to use the rooftop of the Rudy Hill RSL Resort with the venue manager. And it was all tied up. However, when Ken actually approached to install the equipment on top of the resort, they denied access. The club denied access on the basis that the transmitter would affect their poker machines. Well, there's no dealing with logic like that. I mean, that's just amazing. I mean, that's okay. I'll just leave it at that. Do you think that it will affect the poker machines? Okay. We didn't even bother. We just walked straight out. We went up the road to Mount Druitt TAFE, and of course Ken and myself had been quite well versed with TAFE, both of us doing our engineering courses there, and we approached the TAFE, and within 48 hours a test site had been established on top of the C block antenna test facility there. That actual deal morphed later into a 5-year lease of that site for our transmitter site, so the Mount Druitt TAFE site became a major transmitter facility for Swire FM for the number of years after that. Okay, the next song I'm going to play is actually a new one, because I just want to break the peace and not always play old stuff. This is a good song. I'm just going to play this for myself. Let's go with it.
Just
Anyway, Swire FM, the second test from Whalen in 1993, that was at the end of, it's October 1993, was to be 26 days long and there was no holidays. I mean, basically, it's no longer could be the case whereby Ken and myself could just take time off work and do a test broadcast. This was the first serious attempt at Swire FM conducting a test broadcast and operating as a true community radio station. It started late due to the transmitter problems because of the fact that we had to move the transmitter site, but it was technically quite good. This time we had to actually break into the office at Whalen with Ken Marsh's blessing and set the studio up in there because no matter how hard we tried, this militant officer at the at council would not give us the key, so we actually got council's approval to break into it. The test itself went okay, but there were some security situations that came to a head. One night, Ken's van had its window smashed and basically everyone lost their temper and what I'd like to call Swire FM explosion number one took place. Everyone got pissed off and Swire FM was all over. Quite a few people left. Basically I was fed up with it and Ken was fed up with it. And Anite was pretty much fed up with it too. And there was a lull of silence and certainly a low moment in Swire FM's life towards the end of 93 and beginning of 94. One thing that did happen, however, is that I attended an ABA meeting at North Sydney and spoke to some bosses. I popped the question if it was possible to take the 90 days over weekends only, and of course the answer, after they deliberated amongst themselves a few whiles, was yes. So suddenly every aspirant in the whole country was entering a situation whereby they would share their allotted 90 days over weekends and broadcast every Saturday and Sunday and provide at least some sort of semblance of a continuous service. So we were beginning to enter the time of Swire FM known as weekend testing. And we could no longer beg, borrow or steal equipment for this. We had to actually buy it. And that took us a while to get enough funds together to actually buy even basic equipment required to do it. But the first problem was we had no site. And virtually had no people either. Anite had been going to the Friends meetings. He continued to go to the Friends meetings for quite a while, and on his way there he would see this old dilapidated green house on the side of Eastern Road as he drove from St Clair on the way over to Blacktown. And he asked at the Friends meeting what this house was and whether it was owned by council. And a councillor who was involved, Kathy Collins, and I believe she's still involved with council, actually put a hand up and says, yes, that's ours. Well, that's part of the Aquilina Reserve Parks Committee. Yes, that's ours. And a knight basically turned around and said, well, there's a couple of rooms in the front of that aren't being used. How about we lease those for Swire FM? And so the deal with the greenhouse was signed. And Swire FM, for the first time in history, actually had a home. So basically, in around about February 1994, the Anite called up me and Ken and announced that he was going over to build a studio by himself. So at this stage, we're thinking, well, hang on, we can't let him go over there by himself and build a studio. We've got to go over there and help him. So we fell for it, and Swire was back. This time, Anite was running it. The planned test this time was for April 1994, and then after we had the test in April, we would continue to test every weekend. Blacktown City Council donated approximately $1,200 to set up telecom lines between the greenhouse and Mount Druitt TAFE. At that stage, we didn't have an STL. In any case, we couldn't because the greenhouse site was too low on the ground. And Ken got some sponsors for materials like, for example, gyprock and timber and glass, etc. and so forth. And we built the studio and I wired it up and voila, Swire FM was on the air again. And this song featured prominently.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio.
Swire.
Yo, turn to that station.
Song on the radio makes me sad. she had been crying. It's that same song. The DJ sucks. Makes me sad. I tried to turn it off. To say goodbye, my love. That radio song. Hey, hey.
The weekend testing era had arrived to Swar FM. Every weekend on Friday night, the Swar FM transmitter would be switched on and Swar FM would broadcast on Saturdays and Sundays and then switch off on Sunday at midnight. If you do your maths, you would work out that 90 days doesn't quite add up, so we'd probably lose about 4 weekends in a year. Anyway, from about 1994 right through till September 1997, that was over 3 years, and we gained a lot of new people in that era. People like Lee Zagat and Steve Snell joined the group during that time. Lee Zagat was one of our very young people who came to the station and basically grew up with the station until he finally left and entered commercial circles. Another famous name that drifted through Swar FM at that time was, of course, Nick Skits. Back then, he was known for doing a show called Late Night with Nick and Doc. Of course, nowadays, he's known for more famous things. Clinton Lamb was another person who drifted in and out of Swar FM at the time and then, unfortunately, drifted back into it in 2001. We'll leave that where it belongs. And most of the basic form of Swar FM today, the one that you hear from right now, things like programming committee and policies, that sort of thing, they were formed during the era from about 1994 through to 1997. AGMs for the first time were actually held instead of just being talked about. Minutes were actually written instead of just being fudged. And a night was secretary for about 1995, 96, 97. Pretty much single-handedly ran it whilst Ken and I were dealing with other parts of our lives. One particular song that was very interesting during that time was Elton John and Nobody Wins. We used to stir Lee Zagat crazy because he used to just worship 2WS, this bloke, and he was very strange in as much that he would listen to music that was sort of 30 years older than him, and we used to stir him crazy. And I'm sure he would enjoy it very much now to hear bits of it. I've got a few excerpts. I'm not going to play them this time. Perhaps we'll do another history show in the distant future and you'll hear it then. But for now, we'll just review this particular song.
They must have loved each other once, but that was many years ago.
time I came along, things were already going wrong. I felt the pain in their pretense, the side they tried hard not to show. But through the simple eyes of youth, it wasn't hard to see the truth. Slipped away, and as their life became alive, what love remained began to die. I used to hide beneath the sheets. I prayed that time would find a way, but with the passing of the years, I watched his laughter turn to tears. But people change as time goes by. Some feelings grow while others die. But if we learn to want to see and face the truth while we still can, then though the passion may be gone, some kind of love can still live on.
Not just a craving, but a necessity to survive. Join Amanda, Kristen, AJ and Shelby 4 till 6 on Monday afternoons on Swire FM 99.9. I'm sure they'll whet your appetite.
Try your best. Try everything you can.
Do people who've been drinking step off the curb without thinking? Do they wander mindlessly onto the road hailing cabs? Do they trip over median strips, sprawling into the middle of the road? Please, think. Because people who've been drinking don't. If you're driving near pubs and clubs, slow down. How fast are you going now? A message from the RTA.
In the beginning,
obscure alternatives.
Come from the...
On Thursdays, 12 till 2... On Swire FM, 99.9.
Kids, how many times a day do you get nagged about doing your homework or cleaning your room? You want to escape from that? Well, every Wednesday from 4pm you can do that with the Kids Hour. Tune in for great kids music and giveaways. The Kids Hour from 4pm this Wednesday on the new Swire FM 99.9.
Must be under 12 to call.
Hello, I'm Jack Thompson.
Hang on, that's the wrong Jack Thompson. Here's 71-year-old Jack Thompson for Active Australia.
Coming out of competition hockey, I said that I'd give it away at 65. I said I'd give it away at 68. I said I'd give it away at 70, 71, and I'm still going, and I think I might go to a little bit longer.
Get Active Australia. contact your local sporting club or fitness centre. Participate and feel great.
This is the new Soir FM 99.9.
And you've got the History Show with Paul, and we are really moving along here because we have to wrap it up around midnight-ish, maybe a bit longer, because you want to wait and hear what I sounded like in 1979, I suppose. Anite and Ken drafted new articles of the association and changed the name to Blacktown City Community Radio Soir FM Association, Inc., back in 1994, and all ties with Penrith were cut. The focus was on Blacktown only. Back in 1995, Space Probe 7 was built at Wonderland, and Anite used to pass it every day in his car, and he'd dream about it, thinking, wouldn't that be a good place to put an antenna? In early 1996, Soir FM gained control of additional couple of rooms in the greenhouse, and a technical room was established. However, in late 1996, the site was condemned because of the Olympics. However, no eviction date was given. The search, unfortunately, was on again for a site for Soir FM to occupy. However, we did continue to occupy the greenhouse right up to the very end. Unfortunately, we didn't do any maintenance on it, so it became an absolute dump in that time. Another thing that Soir FM got around about that time was its first digital playout system in 1996, courtesy of Knight, with most of the gear actually pinched from his work. A 486 playback machine in the studio, which played WAV files, and that was stored on a Nervel server in the tech room with a, well, back then it was a huge 2 gigabyte SCSI hard drive. 2 gigabytes wouldn't be very big today. I think the server in Soir's technical area is now 240 gigabytes, so things have changed. Yes, it was used for playing promos, but it failed more times than it worked. However, the way was shown. In November 1996, Space Probe 7, Anite initially did a deal with Wonderland to do a test from the top of Space Probe, and Ken and I, well, I guess we wanted to see if it would work, and one thing we needed to buy to do that was an STL transmitter, and a couple of the guys at Soir, including Stephen Snell, got together and put some of their own money in and bought a second-hand STL. I believe it's still sitting out there. It's our spare now. And we actually got together enough equipment to do a test from the top of Space Probe. Now, to fill in the listeners about Space Probe, okay, yes, I know when you go on it, you ride up the chairs and you come down very fast. However, the only way to get transmission equipment up there is the slow way, and that's 74 metres straight up. Now, if you imagine inside this thing, there's a tube, a big giant steel tube, and inside there's a ladder and some cables. Now, the cables are covered in grease because that's what controls the chairs outside. However, if you want to get transmission equipment up to the top of the tower, the only way that you can do it is on the back of you. And we tied transmitters, STL receivers, goodness knows what else, on the back of people's backs, Ken, mine in particular, and climbed up. There was 5 sections. Each section was about 18 metres high, and this ladder was freezing cold and covered in grease, and we can only get access to the site after 10 o'clock at night, by the way, because that was, of course, the hours when the park was closed. So suffice to say, the logistics of operating Space Probe site were very difficult. We got the equipment up there, we turned it on, and, oh, it was heaven. Soir FM could be heard everywhere. The coverage was fantastic. Not as good as the coverage we've got now, I might add, but still, it was a hell of a lot better than the TAFE site. However good the TAFE people were to us, we were determined not to go back. The Space Probe site was Soir FM's new site, and we went on the air, but we weren't on the air for very long because within a month, the failures began. What basically happened, the equipment was sitting at the top of the tower and it was corroding away. It was not protected up there. The weather would get in. It was protected from the rain, but, of course, the damp, cool air would get in the equipment and start it rusting. And it seemed that every second weekend when we turned the equipment on to try and broadcast on Friday night, it wouldn't come up. And every time it didn't come up, every time there was a failure, we lost all of Saturday's programming. And we lost usually the whole weekend, and we also had to, if Ken or me or Anite were available, would have to arrange access to the site and go up there at god hours in the wee hours of Saturday night or Sunday morning to try and see if we could fix it. And even then, those times would involve, you know, hauling up a bit of spare gear, hauling down another piece of failed gear. It was just the worst site you could possibly pick to work. It was an absolute dreadful site to be in. Okay, at this stage, another thing was also continuing at Swire FM, and that was In Phase. Yes, In Phase had continued for 7 years. Remember, it started in 1987 at 2VTR, and 10 years later, Anite and I got together to do a 10th year anniversary edition, and this is a bit like what it sounded like.
On Swire FM. That was the Bell Stars, of course, and I've only got...
The headphones are now working, just.
I've only got one channel working. I can only hear myself in my right ear.
I can hear you in both ears, so you are actually in stereo.
Oh, that's good. It's nice having a broadcast station that broadcasts in stereo without being in stereo.
No.
Tonight is In Phase night, and this is the first time I've been here in 2 months.
2 months?
Yeah, well...
Oh, of course, I wasn't here.
Yeah, you weren't.
It's the first time True In Phase has been going on for over 6 months, I'd say.
Yeah, it's been
the first time this year.
It's been a while.
And for those people out there who are interested...
Actually, you and I did a program together last October.
Oh, I just lost my signal.
I just lost my signal.
No, I've got...
Now I'm back.
Now. Actually, it has been 10 years since In Phase began. You realise that? 1987.
Oh.
Radio station. What's going on? Oh, it must be that microphone of yours has died.
Has it? Oh, it's back again.
In the process of dying. It's strange. It did it again. Every time you breathe into it, just...
It did this to
me.
It was doing this to me a few weeks ago.
You're just turning it off.
It was doing this to me a few weeks ago.
What have you been eating?
Nothing. Garlic.
I can hear it crackling. We'll just give it the...
There we go.
Oh, now it's totally stuffed.
Now it's completely
gone. All
right.
We're going to play some stuff tonight. And this one is the wrong track.
It's fixed again.
Oh, there it goes. You're on In Phase on Swire.
That particular excerpt pretty much indicates exactly what was going on at Swire around about 1997. Due to the fact that we had no money and the place was condemned and the situation at the Space Probe was becoming worse by the day. That meant we were losing a lot of airtime and had to refund airtime. Swire FM was just headed nowhere, guys. It was in very poor shape. We attempted to fix the problems on Space Probe by installing a rack which the equipment would be housed in so that it wouldn't get so damp. In order to do that, we did it one reasonably windy night. We were there from midnight to about 5 a.m. in the morning, trying to haul this steel rack up the outside of Space Probe because it was too big to come up the inside. And, oh, my goodness, it was heavy and we almost dropped it twice and it would almost risk smashing into the side of the Space Probe. Anyway, hours later, Ken and I finally got it up there. We got the equipment in it. We got it working. We got it up there. And then we went to work on Monday morning. I need to find a call from the management of Wonderland. What have you done? They said. Who are you? What are you? This dangerous facility that you've put at the top of our space probe. Oh, excuse me, we had permission to do that. Who from? Well, it actually turned out that the person we had permission from had left a month beforehand and that the management of Space Probe had changed 11 times since the initial agreement to be there. Suffice to say, the deal to occupy Space Probe was well and truly over, and we had to leave that site. And I can honestly say, from Ken and my point of view, I certainly didn't mind seeing the back of it. Although it seemed like a good site when you got up there and looked out and you thought, well, it's nice and high, it was just far too hard to work and the equipment failed all the time. So basically, we see ourselves in a situation now which we could describe as Swire FM explosion number two. At this stage, Anite had had enough. He resigned after running Swire for about 3 years. He didn't resign from the organisation altogether, but basically resigned from being the principal person running it. Swire FM was off the air. There was no money. The studios were virtually decrepit, and the situation was hopeless. There were no plans to do anything about it. Basically, what little airtime was owned to broadcasters just didn't get paid, and the whole situation was completely flat. Ken and me attempted to relocate the transmitter back to Mount Druitt TAFE, but it didn't work because we discovered there was a problem with the link that 1FM had established between their studio in Seven Hills and, of course, Wentworth Falls. However, one thing did happen, and this time it was Mr. Jones that saved Swire FM. Ken got permission from ComSite, which is now Vertel, to test the Horsley Park site, and he called me in a night and told us that he was taking the gear down there alone. Of course, a night and me, we fell for it, and the team was back again. Swire FM was now back on the air, but no broadcasters or members. And I tell you what, the coverage from Horsley Park was fantastic. Couldn't believe it. Ken had already always said that we should test it, and we were now doing it, and it was fantastic. Another thing had happened around about 1997. Federal Senator Richard Alston had passed alterations to the Broadcasting Services Act, which allowed continuous test broadcast licences for aspirant groups who'd been waiting, and of course Swire FM was very much in that category. Since Swire FM had no competitor at that time, that meant that basically we had a full-time licence, certainly to operate from that time on continuously. The ABA did admit that the Sydney licensing was still 3 years off, but with no competition, Swire FM found itself with a 24-hour, 7-day licence for 12 months, as good as permanent. It was a big bloody carrot, and unfortunately we had no broadcasters. But we were on the air, and we hit the airways with a 24-hour, 7-day vinyl shop, played off VCR tape at the Greenhouse. A lot of people liked that. And following months, new broadcasters emerged and the old ones came back. And that was began an era when I started to run the station, standby tapes, and it wasn't 70% of Swire FM's programming at that point. This song was very commonly played on Swire because we had an Aboriginal show back then, presented by an Aboriginal broadcaster between 10 and 12 every Saturday morning. And this was one of their favourites. It's Coloured Stone and Black Boy.